Be the Lord of all. I want to say that today. As a matter of fact, I have said it today on my knees. I want to say it, and I want to be like my sister, not only say it, but mean it. So many times we say things easily uttered and soon forgotten, just because they sound good or because they're what we think we ought to say. I want you to find Psalm 118 and verse 24. 118, verse 24. Did you sleep well last night? Some of us did. I heard about a fellow who stayed up all night wondering where the sun went. Finally, it dawned on him. If you think that is bad, did you hear about the man who went to the second-hand store to get one for his watch? Now that we're awake. All right. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to talk to you today about how to live 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. I want you to learn how to give every day to God, because every God-given day that becomes a God-governed day will become a God-gladdened day. And we can say, this is a day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I want you to think about this day, this very day. Now, I want you to study with me today and notice several factors about today. Number one, this day is a provided day. A provided day. This is a day the Lord hath made. That tells us that God is the creator of time, and God's great gift to you today, other than himself, is time. God has given you time today to work, time to serve, time to love, time to laugh. But like any other gift, what you do with it is up to you. And I want you to see today as a gift from God. You know, we talk sometimes about God taking someone's life. God really doesn't have to take your life in order for you to die. All he has to do is to stop giving it to you. You see, every day God gives you life. That's the reason the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning is a gift from God. And rather than waking up and saying, good Lord, it's morning, you ought to say, good morning, Lord. Here is a day that you have given to me, and it is of your mercy that we are not consumed. And so since this day is a day that God has provided, that means that we're stewards over this day. And we're going to be held responsible for this day. We all have the same amount of time. There are in this day 24 hours. There are in this day 1,440 minutes. In this day, there are 86,000 seconds, and every one of them are precious. Have you ever heard someone say, well, thus and such a person has more time than I do? No one has more time than you do. We all have 24 hours. We all have 1,440 minutes. We all have 86,000 seconds. I read an article here a few months ago about the Bucherer watchmaking people who made a watch, and the value of that watch was $7 million. $7 million. It was all just studded all over with gorgeous diamonds and so forth. I got to thinking about it. You know, the fellow who owns that watch doesn't have any more time than I do. Now you think about it. I don't care whether you've got a Timex or a $7 million watch. We all have the same amount of time, and we're all going to be held responsible for it. I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, but it's up to me how I use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. And so the very first thing I want you to see is that this day, today, is a day God made. It is a day provided. But secondly, not only is it a provided day, it is a present day. Look at it. This is the day. Not was the day or shall be the day. Oh, if we could only learn to live now. If I could only learn to live this day right now because God has given it to me. There are two days that conceal the joy and the power and the wealth out of today. One is yesterday and the other is tomorrow. So many people want to live in yesterday. But the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past." Have you done that? Have you unhooked yourself from yesterday? Paul refused to live in yesterday. Some of us are. Paul could have lived with past guilt because he was guilty. He called himself the chief of sinners. But Paul refused to be haunted by the ghost of guilt. He said, "I forget those things which are behind." Or Paul could have lived in the past, in past glory. Because what a past he had as a great Pharisee, as a great scholar, as a great Jewish worker. But he said, "I count all these things but dung." He wouldn't live in the past, in past guilt or past glory. Or he could have lived in the past with past grudges. People did Paul dirty. But he wasn't going to go around holding a grudge that was going to be a corrosive acid that would destroy himself. He said, "I forget those things." Or he could have lived in the past and past grief. No one suffered like Paul. Very few Christians have suffered like Paul. But he again refused to be sitting around licking his wounds. "I just put that," he said, "in the grave of God's forgetfulness." Have you done that? Have you unhooked yourself from yesterday? This is the day the Lord hath made. Now, others of you are not living in the past. You're living in the future. William Marston, who is a psychologist, surveyed 3,000 persons. And do you know what he found out? He found out that 94% of those persons were enduring today in order to get to tomorrow. You've been guilty of that? Enduring today in order to get to tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes, and therefore we never really say, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, it's an amazing thing. We look forward to having friends before we have them. After we lose them, we look back and grieve because they're gone, and we weep when we lose them. But so many times we fail to enjoy our friends today. You're surrounded by some wonderful people. I want you to enjoy them today. Women sometimes will spend 20 years looking forward to getting married and having children. Then they spend 20 years with those children, and after they're gone, they look back for 20 more years thinking about how wonderful it was to have had those children, but they complain the whole 20 years they had them. We always are living in the past or in the future, but we fail to live in the great now, right now. Some of you are going to miss today because you're worrying about tomorrow. Always expecting the bad to come. One woman elbowed her husband in the side in the middle of the night and said, "I hear a noise downstairs. I believe that it might be a burglar. Get up and go check." She shoved him out of bed, and he went down there with a gun and a flashlight and walked through the house, and sure enough, there was a burglar. He shined the light on him and said, "Hold your hands up," and the burglar put his hands up, and the man, trembling, dialed for the telephone and called the police and kept the gun on that man. And when the police came and they were ready to take him away, the man said, "Hold it. Before you take him, I want my wife to come down here and meet him. She's been looking for him for 20 years. We're always worrying about tomorrow. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, what does that mean? That means that every day God sees to it that we have some problems. Did you know that these problems are gifts from God to cause us to depend upon Him? The worst thing that could happen to us would be for us to go through life with no sore throat. God gives us problems. Why? So we'll wake up and say, dear Lord, you be the Lord of all. Dear Lord, I need you, and Lord, I must depend upon you. And Lord, here today, one more time, God, I call upon you. And so God has ordained that every day we have some problems. But God also, with today's problems, gives today's strength. Take no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That is, sufficient is the strength to meet the evil. You see, that's the reason the Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 15, as your days are. Strength for today. Because you don't need that strength tomorrow. You need that strength today. Now, if you worry about tomorrow, do you know what you're doing? You're taking today. Excuse me. You're taking today's strength. You worry about tomorrow. If you're taking today's strength and you're wasting it on tomorrow. And then when you get here tomorrow, you're not stronger tomorrow. You're out of breath because when you should have been using today's strength to make you strong today, you didn't use it today and it didn't make you any stronger for tomorrow. Listen, dear friend, your worry doesn't take the sorrow out of tomorrow. It takes the strength out of today. Understand that. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry doesn't make you ready. It makes you unready. You face the future out of breath because you've been fighting imaginary foes. Oh, if we could only learn not to worry. I heard about a man who was so prone to worry, he worried all of the time about what might happen. And suddenly one day he stopped it. He was the calmest person with the most equanimity of spirit. You've never seen a man as serene as this man. Someone asked him, he said, how did you change? He said, do you know, I discovered there is a firm in this city that has some professional worriers, and you can go down there and hire a worrier, and he will worry for you. You just tell him your problem, and then you forget it. And all day long, he just sits in a room and worries for you. And you just go your own way. You don't even have to do it. I said, well, that's terrific. How much does that cost? He said, $1,000 a day. Oh, he said, that's very expensive. How are you going to pay it? He said, that's his worry. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could hire someone to worry for us? Well, dear friend, something more wonderful than that is we have Jesus to carry our burdens, don't we? It doesn't cost $1,000 a day. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Did you know that worry is an insult to God? Did you know that? Suppose my children were to come to me sniveling and frightened and whimpering, and I say, well, darlings, what's wrong? Daddy, we're just afraid you're not going to be able to feed us today. We're afraid you're not going to be able to clothe us. We're afraid you're not going to be able to take care of us. What an insult that would be to me. The truth of the matter is I may not be able to. Well, I don't want them acting that way. But do you see what an insult that is to our Heavenly Father? You see, worry is just the opposite of faith. That's what it is. It's a liable against God. And so, this day is a present day. Don't live it in the past. Unhook yourself from that. Don't live it in the future. Take no thought for tomorrow. Squeeze all of the juice you can out of today. Friend, this is the only day you have. This is the day the Lord hath made. And as your days are, so shall your strength be. Now the third thing I want you to notice about today. Number one, we said it is a provided day. God made it. Number two, therefore, it is a present day. I must live it today. I can't live any other time than right now. Number three, it is a precious day. Because God don't make no junk. Isn't that what Ethel Waters said? All right, now, if God made this day, if God made this day, and this is a day the Lord hath made, then how precious it is. I need to learn today not to waste time. Because if I waste time, I waste life. Because life is made up of time. Have you ever thought about murder? I don't mean, have you ever thought about murdering anybody, but have you ever thought about what you do when you do murder someone? You say, well, I I take their life. No, you don't take their life. They're going to die anyway. You know, there are all kind of amazing statistics about death, but there's a new statistic that's just come out. One out of one person's died. We all die. And what you do if you murder someone is really you take their time. You take the time. You just cause them to die soon. You see, and so therefore, if you are wasting time, you're killing yourself by degrees. It's a form of murder. It is a form of self-suicide. To waste time is to take your life. And so this is a precious day. And I need to squeeze all of the juice I can out of today. There was a man who was a strong man in the circus, and a part of his act was he would take a lemon and put that lemon in his hand and squeeze the juice out of it. And then they offered $100 to anybody else who could get one more drop of juice out of that lemon. All of the great strong men in the community would try, but none of them could do it. And then a little emaciated, hollow-chested, sallow-faced little man, balding on top, got up there and took that lemon. And in his little blue-veined hand, he started to squeeze it. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drops of juice came out of that lemon. The man said, "Who are you? What do you do? How did you do that? How did you squeeze so much out of that lemon?" He said, "I'm the treasurer in the Baptist church." Boy, we need to learn how to squeeze all the juice out of today. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." How precious is this day? And so how am I going to squeeze every drop of juice out of today? Well, number one, I need to be quiet enough before God and to listen to God to get my orders from God. You see, it's not that we don't have enough time, it's just that we're doing the wrong thing. Now, let me tell you something. There is enough time in every day to do gracefully everything God wants you to do. Amen? There is enough time in every day to do gracefully everything God wants you to do. Don't you dare insult God by saying you don't have enough time. That's an insult to God, because God's the one who created time. Jesus said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day." Jesus was never in a hurry, and Jesus was never late. There's enough time in every day to do gracefully everything God wants us to do. But you see, the problem is that we have self-imposed things that we do, or we let others impose things on us, because we've not gotten alone with God and let God speak to us and let God tell us what to do. Now, you don't waste time when you wait on God. If you're too busy to wait on God and get instruction from God, you're too busy. A man who's chopping wood doesn't waste time when he sharpens his axe. You're not wasting time to wait on God. All right, now, after you've been quiet and been alone with God, then you set your priorities. You see, the secret of squeezing every ounce of juice out of today is to prioritize today. Now, with most of us who are Christians, the problem is not between good and bad. You know, life would be pretty simple if it were a choice between good and bad. But for most of us, the choice is between good and best, isn't it? You see, we don't have time today for good activities, because we must choose the best activities. I don't have time to read good books. I hear people say, oh, have you read so and so and so? I said, no, I haven't read that. Well, why don't you have time to read good books? I haven't read the best ones yet. So why should I spend time reading good books rather than reading the best books? It's a difference. What you do is far more important than how you do it. Most courses on time management tell you how to be more effective. They teach you how to do things more quickly, like speed reading. Most of us would like to be able to speed read. We read just a few hundred words a minute. We like to be able to read many more words a minute than that. But let me tell you a little secret. How would you like to read 50,000 words a minute? Well, I can't tell you exactly how to do that, but I can tell you the equivalent of that. Just find a 50,000 word book that's not worth reading and don't read it. And look how much time you save. You see, it's not just being able to do something quickly, but it is doing the right thing. Doing the thing that God wants you to do. Now, Jesus, crucified at 33, could say, I have finished the work thou sentest me to do. I finished it. Why? Because he knew what God wanted him to do, and evidently he lived with that priority. So look, spend enough time with God to know what God wants you to do. And after you find out what God wants you to do, then prioritize your life so that you can do those things and put the good before the best before the good, and then work in the Spirit. Now, remember the other night we were talking about being filled with the Spirit? And the Bible says in verse 18, Ephesians 5, verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. But just before that, the Bible says, redeem the time. Now, those two things are put together in God's Word on purpose. How do you redeem the time? By being filled with the Spirit. You see, when you find what God wants you to do, you haven't finished then. How are you going to do today what God wants you to do? In the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Learn today to burn the oil and not the wick. Rest in the Lord. So many times people talk to us about time management. They are talking to us about working harder. No, the idea is to work better. The idea is to work more effectively. And the idea is to work in the power of God's dear Holy Spirit. Remember, 'tis one day will soon be past. Only what's done through Christ shall last. Work in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, last of all, and not last in the message, but last in this point, look, if this is a precious day, then recognize procrastination as a sin. As a sin. Now, most of us think it's a bad habit, but it's a sin. Procrastination and disobedience are two ways of saying the same thing. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. To him it is what? Sin. And if it's something you know you ought to do, then you ought to do it. Amen? Amen. I'm talking to me. Okay, now look, this is a provided day. And this day is a present day. And this day is a precious day. Another thing I want to tell you about today, this day is a passing day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because it will soon be gone. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for night cometh, when no man can work. Lost one golden hour, studded with 60 diamond minutes, no reward offered, for it is gone forever. Let me tell you some things you cannot do with time. You can't save time. You know, people always talk about saving time. You can't save it. You can save money, but you can't save time. There's something else you can't do with time. You can't borrow it. You can't loan me a few hours. I tell you something else you can't do with money, with time. You can't leave it, and you can't take it. There are only two things you can do with time. You can use it, and you can lose it. That's all you can do with time. Time can't be stopped. In a game of basketball, you call timeout. You can't call timeout in life. Time can't be stored. It can't be put in the deep freeze. Time can't be stretched. You can't add another cup of water to it. Time can't be shared. It can't be loaned. It can't be borrowed. today is passing away. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time is gone. This is a day the Lord hath made. Robert Moffat was a great pioneer missionary, and this is what he said. He said, we shall have all eternity in which to celebrate our victory, but only one short hour before the sunset in which to win them. What are you going to do in the name of Jesus today? All eternity to celebrate the victory. But what you do, you better do quickly. You're going to be a soul winner? You better get at it. You're going to be kind to your mother? You better start. Dead noses smell no roses. Listen, friend. Today is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a passing day. A woman wrote to Ann Landers. She said, dear Ann, I need some advice. I am 36 years old. My friends are telling me I should go back to college and get my degree. But if I do that, I'll be 40 years old when I get my degree. Ann wrote her back and said, well, if you don't go back to college 4 years from now, how old will you be? That's one of the few good things she said. Listen, time is passing. What you do, then do it. What God tells you to do. This is a passing day. Now let me just say one other thing, and I'll be finished as we think about today. Not only is it a passing day, but it is a providential day. This is a day which the Lord hath made. And so God created today, and so we need to see this day coming from the hand of a great God of providence. And so when the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord hath made, then he said, well, why shouldn't I rejoice in it? Why shouldn't I be happy if God made it? Do you know the secret of joy? The secret of joy is to see the providence of God in everything and rejoice in everything. Since God made today and we're the children of God, then we can write Romans 8:28 over this day, and no matter what happens today, we can thank God for it. Amen? Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are those verses saying? They're saying this is the day God has made. Nothing comes to me but what it comes through Him first. And so I can choose to rejoice. I can choose to praise the Lord. Not primarily for everything, but in everything, because where God is over all and He is the great sovereign God. I can choose to be happy today. A preacher was sitting on a train, and he noticed a couple over there. She was elegantly dressed with furs, smartly attired with a lovely dress. She had diamonds dripping from her fingers. He was a distinguished-looking business type. But she was complaining about the service, complaining about the air conditioning, complaining about this and complaining about that, just always complaining. The preacher decided he would engage the man in a conversation. He seemed somewhat embarrassed about his wife complaining all of the time. And so he said to the man, what is your business? And found out what the man's business was. And then he said, and what about your wife? What does she do? Oh, he said, my wife is in the manufacturing business. And he said, oh, yes, and what does she manufacture? And he said, unhappiness. She manufactures her own unhappiness. And a lot of people who do that, they fail to choose to be happy. Now listen, friends, We need to have the spirit of a beggar. A man said to a beggar, God give you a good day, my friend. The beggar answered, thank God I never had a bad one. The man said, well, God give you a happy life, my friend. He said, I thank God I'm never unhappy. And the man said, what do you mean? And the beggar smiled and said, when it's fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I'm hungry, I thank God. Since God's will is my will, whatever pleases Him pleases me. And why should I say I'm unhappy when I'm not? The man said, who are you? The beggar said, I'm a king. And the man said, well, where's your kingdom? He said, in my heart. Now, that's only a story. I don't think it ever really happened. But how it illustrates what I'm talking about. We thank Him for sun. Do we thank Him for rain? We thank Him for joy. Do we thank Him for pain? We thank Him for gain. Do we thank Him for losses? We thank Him for blessings. Do we thank Him for crosses? In everything, give thanks. This is a day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I want you to do something right now. I want you to choose to be happy all day long. Will you? Just say, I will. I mean, you can choose it. You today can manufacture your own unhappiness if you want to. Or you can say, since this day is a God-given day, it will be a God-governed day, and it will be a God-gladdened day, for it has come from the hand of God. I will rejoice. Did you know that you can say that? Did you know that you can choose happiness or unhappiness today? Now, if this day has come from the hand of God, it is a God-given day, a providential day. Now, I'm going to have prayer in a moment, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop living yesterday, and I want you to stop worrying about tomorrow or even anticipating tomorrow. I want you to be like that little Baptist treasurer. I want you to squeeze every ounce of juice out of today. I want you to stop saying, if I have time, for you do have time, enough time today to do gratefully everything that God wants you to do. And if today there's someone here who's not a Christian, I want to tell you, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You ought to give your heart to Jesus right now. Let's bow together and pray. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my own heart from your word. Lord, help us to live this day in the power of the Spirit and to spend enough time to know what your will is for us, to set priorities, and then to live it in your strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.